One of the best compliments you can ever pay a person is to invite him back to the same place at the same time and say, speak again. So this, I see, is a big compliment. And I thank Rabbi Kirzner, the rabbi, for allowing me to do this. Because, as I said on Tuesday night, I stood here many, many a times doing exactly the same thing. And subsequently, obviously, I've been having the privilege of doing it in other places around the world, simply because I left Halifax 10 years ago. But to be invited back to the same place you did it so many times, and in the same week twice, is a great compliment. So, because we're the eve of Yom Kippur, let's not talk about me, let's talk about the eve of Yom Kippur. The eve of Yom Kippur begins tonight or tomorrow, what do you say? Jewish days begin when?
The night before.
The night before, so you would have said all the laws that pertain to the eve of Yom Kippur, whatever they might be, should begin tonight. As minute that it becomes nightfall, or perhaps a bit earlier, sunset onwards, all the laws of the eve of Yom Kippur should apply. And yet, on the other hand, we have a very interesting law on the eve of Yom Kippur that doesn't exist on the eve of any other holiday. As a matter of fact, on the eve of every other holiday and Shabbos, we have the opposite law. On the eve of every other Shabbos and holiday, it's preferable not to eat too much, in order to eat the actual holiday or Shabbos meal with a great appetite. On the eve of Pesach, by a certain hour, it's actually a law. On the eve of Yom Kippur, on the other hand, take a wild guess, it's a mitzvah to eat. On the eve of Yom Kippur, it is a mitzvah to eat. The Gemara says that the verse that tells us about Yom Kippur doesn't say that Yom Kippur starts on the 10th of the month, which this year will be Shabbos. It says, "B'tisha l'chodesh ba'erev, mi'erev ad erev tishpetu shabbatchem." On the ninth of the month at night, from night to night, you shall Sabbath your Sabbath. So the Gemara says, with due respect, we all know Yom Kippur starts on the 10th. So how come the verse says the 9th? The Gemara says, because whoever eats and drinks on the 9th and fasts on the 10th, it is as if he had a two-day holiday of some sort, and it's a wonderful thing. Suffice it to say, there's a big mitzvah to eat on the eve of Yom Kippur. The question is, when does that start? When does the word eve of Yom Kippur start? So we have a law to eat, maybe more than usual. Does it start this evening, or does it start tomorrow morning? So if you would have asked me in the middle of the night, I would have answered like you. When does it start? Tonight, because the Jewish day starts at night. If the whole idea of the eve of Yom Kippur is to eat, then the eve of Yom Kippur begins on the 9th. The 9th begins tonight. So the minute you go home, there's a mitzvah to eat. Every time you eat, you should know it's a mitzvah. On the other hand, there are many that say, such as Rashi, there is no mitzvah to eat per se on the eve of Yom Kippur just because it's a special day, but rather it's a preparation for the fast day. It's like a good idea the Torah gave us. Instead of just telling us to go fast, it told us, eat the day before so you'll be able to fast on the 10th. If that's the case, you can eat all you want tonight. It won't help. Tomorrow, morning, afternoon, towards the evening, as you eat, you're filling up towards the fast. So eating tonight wouldn't make a difference towards the fast. So the question is, indeed, is the eve of Yom Kippur something that starts from tomorrow morning as a preparation for the fast day of Shabbos of this year? Or is it an independent law that has to do with the eve of Yom Kippur regardless of the fast? If you say it's a preparation for the fast, when would it start? Tomorrow, morning onwards, morning, afternoon. And if you say it's not a preparation for the fast, it's an independent law, it has to do with the fact that it's the ninth of the month. Then when does the ninth of the month begin? Tonight. So we have to go ahead and try to consider this based on other laws that happen on the eve of Yom Kippur. So let's start right at the beginning. Tomorrow, as we come to davening, you're going to see that it's one of the shortest davenings we had in the last 2 weeks. We started saying Slichot, and we went on to the eve of Rosh Hashanah. We said a lot of Slichot, and during these last few days since Rosh Hashanah, we said many Slichot, but not as much as the eve of Rosh Hashanah. How many Slichot are we going to say tomorrow?
The ones in the paragraph
It is the shortest of the entire Slichot period. Why is it the shortest? So many of the interpreters on the Code of Jewish Law say, that, I'll tell you why it's the shortest, because it's the mitzvah to eat. So we don't want people to stay in shul too much. We want them to go do the mitzvah of the day, and that's to eat. So if indeed it's a preparation for the fast day, then I understand that there's not many slichot. Now what about people that say slichot tonight? You can say slichot tonight from midnight on, whenever midnight is. Do they say a lot of slichot or don't they? So once again, if it's a preparation for the fast day, you can eat all you want at midnight. It doesn't make a difference towards the fast. But if it's an independent law, maybe we should diminish the slichot even if you say them at night. So that's one consideration to take into account. How many slichot do you say if you say it at night? Second consideration, which I think is very, very important. On very happy days when you have an obligation to eat, then you don't say tachanun. Tachanun is when you put your head down on your arm and you say, God, I sinned, etc. Do we say tachanun tomorrow? The answer is no. We don't say tachanun. It's the eve of Yom Kippur. It's a day of eating. Very nice. What about tonight? Do we say tachanun tonight in Ma'ariv? Answer is we never say tachanun in Ma'ariv, and that's not a way to consider it. However, and this is a very important issue, if indeed you said the slichot in the middle of the night, namely at 12:30, whatever midnight is and on, do you say tachanun? Say if you say the 9th of Tishrei, which is tomorrow or tonight, is an independent holiday of some sort where we have a mitzvah to eat, you wouldn't say tachanun. But if you say it's only a means to get to the meal, to prepare for the fast, then it's only starting from the morning. So you'd have two slichot book, literally. You have a slichot book if you say it at night, and you have a different slichot book if you say it during the day. So it turns out that the German communities say a lot of slichot on the eve of Yom Kippur. I mean a chunk of slichot bigger than even the eve of Rosh Hashanah, if I'm not mistaken. Because they used to say slichot at night. They didn't say it in the morning. And at night, it's not a preparation for the fast. But once again, if you say it's not a preparation for the fast, it's an independent holiday of the eve of Yom Kippur, or to put it precisely as Rav Soloveitchik did, you can't eat on Yom Kippur, so you're making it up a day before, because Yom Kippur is a holiday, you just have a little fluke, you can't eat, so you make it up the day before, then indeed it's a holiday from the night. Which would lead to the third issue. We mentioned Avinu Malkeinu, we mentioned Slichot, let's talk about a third issue. Are women obligated in the mitzvah of eating on the eve of Yom Kippur? We have an ironclad rule that has many exceptions to it, but it is a rule that any time-bounded commandments, namely a commandment that you do within a certain time frame, women are exempt. So they're exempt from hearing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and they're exempt from sitting in a sukkah, and they're exempt from shaking a lulav, and there are a few exceptions to the rule, but that's the general rule. Are they obligated to eat on the eve of Yom Kippur?
It all depends.
And once again, if it's a preparation for the fast, of course they are. They're obligated to fast. They're obligated in all the prohibitions in the Torah, including not eating on the eve of Yom Kippur. However, if it's not a preparation for the fast, it's an independent holiday called the eve of Yom Kippur, then maybe they're exempt because it's a time-bounded commandment. It starts on the 9th and it ends on the 10th. And finally, we get to the most important ramification. Because until now, gentlemen, everything I told you, you can think about, it has no ramification whatsoever. Because, quite frankly, you're going to eat, you can get prepared for the fast, let's be honest, you're going to come to shul tomorrow, the slichot are short, there is Avinu Malkeinu tomorrow, because the eve of Shabbos, we won't say it on Yom Kippur, but quite frankly, at Mincha, we won't. That's not a big deal. Now comes the biggest of the biggest deals. I just presented to you two ways of looking at this mitzvah. Is it an independent mitzvah of the 9th, or is it a preparation for the fast? Now comes the real practical ramification. Let's say there's a gentleman or lady in this community that's obligated to eat on Yom Kippur. Why would they be obligated to eat?
Because they're sick.
They're dangerously ill, and therefore they have to not fast on Yom Kippur. That's the obligation for them. Just like we have an obligation to fast if we're healthy, you have an obligation to eat if you're not. Do they have to eat on the eve of Yom Kippur? Like, eat like we do?
Depends.
Depends on what?
On what you just said.
If it's a preparation for the fast, they don't have to. They're not fasting.
Right.
But if it's not a preparation for the fast, it's an actual mitzvah in and of itself to have a happy day on the eve of Yom Kippur, then they have to do it like all the rest of the Jewish people do it. So as you could see, the eve of Yom Kippur is a fascinating issue. Is it a preparation for the Fev, or is it an independent holiday in and of itself? And the most practical ramification of everything we said was, do people who are going to eat on Yom Kippur because they're dangerously ill have to do this mitzvah or not? The second one is, do you eat tonight more than usual, or don't you? On the periphery is, how many slichot do you say in Avinu Malkeinu? At the end of the day, there is a mitzvah on the eve of Yom Kippur to eat, and I know many Jews that are very stringent on this mitzvah. They do eat a lot all year, and on the eve of Yom Kippur, they have no problem to overeat as well. However, what's beautiful about it, I believe, is the following. What the Torah is basically telling us is that Yom Kippur is not a day of mourning. It's not a sad day. It's a beautiful day in which we come before God and say, God, we have to confess about what we did wrong and what we did right. On the misdoings, on the things we didn't achieve, and on all the achievements of this year. And if you're going to have to balance it out, then you have to fast on the 10th, and you have to eat on the 9th. Because if you only fasted on the 10th, and quickly had a meal before the fast just to fill up, then all you would talk about on Yom Kippur is, it's a terrible day, I have to face my mortality, I have to face the fact that I'm a sinner, I have to face the fact that I did things wrong. But because we have the mitzvah to eat on the eve of Yom Kippur, it puts a certain balance into that equation and says, just like you did sins this year, you also did mitzvot this year. Just like you missed a minyan, you also made a minyan. Just like you perhaps didn't make a bracha before you drank a cup of water, there are many times you did. And in order to balance this with that, and to turn Yom Kippur not into a day of mourning, but into a day that's a holiday, even though we're fasting, we have to balance it out by having a mitzvah to eat on the eve of Yom Kippur, together with the fasting on Yom Kippur. Only with that proper balance are we able to come before God honestly and authentically and say, God, I come before you honestly and say, I did things that are wrong this year, but I did a few things that are right as well. And the fact that we have a mitzvah to eat on the eve of Yom Kippur balances out for us that experience. Because it's so easy to go to the negative. Let's be honest. If you have to go ahead and say, my shul is, tell us about the things that are wrong, I'm pretty sure you'll have no problem to answer that question. Now, tell us what's good at your shul. Oh, wait, I have to think about that a minute. Let me think. Wait, what's good? Wait. That's a hard question. Let me contemplate that a minute. The mitzvah of eating on the eve of Yom Kippur gives us the opportunity to come before God honestly on the holiest day of the year and say, God, I did many things that are wrong, but I also did many things that are right. We should all have a beautiful, good year. And God should all seal us for the book of life and the book of peace and the book that will hopefully give us a year of much health and happiness, but also much significance. Yes, Steve?
Just a quick question. If it's not a day of mourning, why do we say Yisker?
We say Yisker on all the holidays of the year, as a matter of fact. We say it on Pesach, on Shavuot, and on Sukkot, and they're very happy holidays for sure. We're allowed to eat. We have a mitzvah to eat, as a matter of fact. Yisker, actually, you're right, originated on Yom Kippur. It didn't happen on the other holidays. The reason I believe it started on Yom Kippur was that it's a day where we also face our mortality. And the only way to face the fact that you're going to be here and perhaps in a different world the next day is by mentioning all those that passed on. And Yom Kippur is a day that induces that feeling. There's a custom to light Yahrzeit candles on the eve of Yom Kippur for all those that passed away. Many people wear a kittel, which is like the shrouds that you're buried in. There is talk of the fact that you're not going to be here forever. And therefore, Yisker has a place on Yom Kippur. On the other hand, because Yisker goes on all the holidays, I believe that Yisker is a beautiful, beautiful prayer because it doesn't just remember what was. It also is an acknowledgement of what is. At the end of the Yisker prayer, we don't just say Yisker, which means remember what was. We say Akel Mole Rachamim, which at the end of which says the following words. May the soul of the person I just mentioned be intertwined with that of the living. Now, what do those words mean? It basically means that the legacy of my father, my mother, my sister, my brother, whoever I'm saying Yisker for, is now continuing to live with me. Even though they're physically not here, I'm making the same recipe for Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot at home. I'm singing the songs they used to sing. I'm going to synagogue like they used to go to synagogue. And therefore, it's not just a situation of remembering what was. It's a celebration of what is. Now, if you can't celebrate it, because the gap between the person you're saying Yisker and you is so big, then indeed it's a terrible prayer. It's mournful and it would have no place on a holiday. But if you're continuing the legacy of your loved ones, I believe it's a beautiful prayer, saying this is what was, and thank God, even though their physical body is not here, their legacy, their values, their principles is very much alive with me and my children and my grandchildren, and hopefully for many generations to come. We should all have a Gemar, Chatima Tovar, God should seal us in the Book of Life, and the Book of a Happy Life, that is, and God willing, us and the entire community and all communities around the world.